Last week we talked about the idea of discipleship, and that is the end goal of what Jesus is doing in our midst. It isn't just showing up for church. It isn't just reading your Bible. It is that we should become disciples. And being a disciple or discipleship requires action. It's something that we do. It isn't something that we watch. It is something that we interact with. It also, we talked about last week, talks about the idea that we should do that with others. It requires us to be with each other in this process. That we should, in essence, grow old with someone spiritually. Even if they're not your spouse. If somebody knows you intimately. They know what you're going through. They know the problems and the processes and the thoughts, and they've journeyed with you. We talked a little bit about different cultures that tend to grow older than other cultures, and how that is a key component, that they are connected with each other. So we talked about three pieces of what it means to be a disciple. It's something we've been working on for a couple of years now: worship, fellowship, and serving. Worship, that we're devoting ourselves to teaching and to prayer and being together. This is a piece of that, but it's not just this. Fellowship, you see, read in Acts chapter 2, that they devoted themselves to breaking of bread and being together. It was something that they actively sought out, and when it became a problem, they fixed their problem. They put more people in charge to make sure that the problem was fixed. Also with serving, that they devoted themselves to serving those in need. Again, when the problem wasn't going well, when things weren't going well, they fixed their problem. You can read that in Acts chapter 6, like we did last week. So last week I gave you encouragement to be reading Scripture together. So we started reading that this week. And you can start now if you would like. Jesse talked about it. I believe you have a week's worth of reading in your bulletin. There at the bottom of the bulletin, you want to just jump in right there. You're welcome to. You can catch yourself up to that point and then join us along the way. There are printed copies of that on the back page where it's every week readings for the entire year. Also, like Jesse said, if you do have a device that does reading, you can download the app and be able to read this exact same plan on the Bible app that's on any device that you have. So please join us with that. And then something that we've been doing together as a family, me, Beth, and Maggie have been reading that together. And let me tell you don't know how rated R the Bible is until you read it with a 9-year-old. It's not rated G. I don't know if you guys have ever picked up on reading the Scripture. That's nice. Hey, Daddy, what is circumcision? No. Let me rephrase that. It was, Mommy, what is circumcision? And Mommy said, Daddy. And so there I am describing in 9-year-old language what a circumcision is. I'm not going to say that out loud. She was embarrassed. She was had the Bible up to her face. And then when I was done, there was nothing. Utter silence. And then we were like, Maggie, what? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I don't want to talk about it. She was done. But the description did involve the word pee-pee. So if anybody needs a play-by-play, I'll be more than happy to help you out with that. And we haven't even got to Leviticus yet. And Numbers and the things you're supposed to do with your wife and not with your wife and with your brother's, uncle's, cousin's, dog. And I mean, we haven't even got there yet. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We hope that you join with us in that process. So again, though, reading and being a disciple is doing that together. So find somebody to talk about that with you through the process. So the idea of vision is, vision is a clear and compelling picture of a preferred future. We know where we're going, we understand what we're going to do, and we go there. Now, this isn't an easy thing to do. Matter of fact, if you read the way Jesus presents the vision of the kingdom, it's actually an interesting process. He doesn't do it with complete simplicity and clarity. He doesn't use sixth grade, I'm going to dumb it way down for everybody to understand, and nobody. He actually takes a different tactic. So if you read the chapter 4 of Mark, we read chapter 3 where he called his disciples and they begin to walk together. He began to say things by using what he called, what we call parables. Basically, he tells stories. Sometimes the stories were clear, sometimes they weren't, sometimes they weren't always understandable. But he would just tell a story and then just leave it on the table with no explanation. Matter of fact, if you read chapter 4, it's the parable of the sower. And we'll read the first 9 verses here just briefly. Here we go. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. This is before when Gene read, he's by the lake, he's got a boat just in case the crowd gets too big and too unruly. He's there by the lake again. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he had to get into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And that was it. End of story. Maybe he went on to tell another story, another parable. If you read other places in Scripture, Jesus tells parable after parable after parable after parable with no explanation of those parables very often. Every once in a while you see him describe it, but most of the time he didn't describe what he meant except to a few people. And so it isn't always clear to the person just listening, the casual listener. So who is it then that's listening to him preaching in this scenario? First, well, his followers are there, right? The people who have already begun to follow him, as we see in chapter 3, there's already a considerable amount of people that are following him. And some of them have peeled off from their ordinary lives and begun to follow him much closer. They don't go home at the end of the day and just come back and listen later. They actually stay and stick around and want to know what's going on. Those are his followers. There's religious leaders there. We know if you read over and over again, there are places in Scripture where there are leaders there to listen so they can catch him in some heresy, so they can put him to death. And so there's this large crowd of people that are following. You know, it's a ton of people, different worldviews. People believe that there are some of them there that believe that politics, that anarchy is the solution to their problems. All right. Sounds like it rained, maybe. No, didn't rain. I mean, one of Jesus' disciples was called a zealot. Simon the Zealot. His idea on solving the world, his world problems, you know, right there in Israel, was to rise up and overthrow the government. That's what it means to be a zealot. Some people believe that. Some people believe that there was no God. Different worldviews, different people sitting around listening to what Jesus had to say. So he tells this story about different types of people. That's what he means by the soil whenever he's preaching this. But those who understand it are only those who went to find out. So Jesus begins to tell stories about this kingdom that he is ushering in. In Matthew chapter, I think it's 13, he talked about the kingdom is like yeast that a woman puts into bread and it fills the whole dough. Now, if you don't care about God's kingdom, you go, yeast? Now, from a 2013 point of view, so you're telling me God's kingdom is like a microorganism that eats sugar and burps carbon dioxide? Because that's what yeast is, right? That's what yeast does. I mean, that's where bubbles come from in bread. It's how bread rises. It eats sugar. These tiny microbes eat sugar and burp gas. God's kingdom is like that. Well, if you heard that from our point of view, you go, that is the weirdest kingdom. I do not want to belong to that. But there's got to be more to that, right? There's got to be more understanding, digging it. So that's how he goes around, teaching people about his kingdom, telling these stories. He begins to plant these in the heart of those people that are listening. It always makes sense. I mean, the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, this teaching that Jesus taught. I mean, have you ever processed how you've loved yourself? I mean, if I love myself, I care about myself, I do the things to take care of myself, well, I buy things that I need, I do things that I like that make me happy, I provide shelter for myself. If you got a family, you provide shelter for them. You feed yourself, you feed your family if that's, you know, what you have. Now then think of your neighbor, your literal next door neighbor, the person right now, if you went and knocked on the door, their face would appear at the door. Think about that person in this moment. Now imagine feeding them, clothing them, paying their rent. Wait a minute, so Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So these are all the things that I do for myself, and therefore I should do those things for my neighbor? Wait, time. That's a weird kingdom. I would like to take care of myself. Their problem is their problems. I don't need to go over there and take care of them. It's their responsibility. So this is the kind of thing Jesus comes and teaches. He teaches these radical ideas of what it means to belong to his kingdom. So in the midst of all these people listening to these stories, he has a few people that then come out of this crowd and begin to follow him. So if you look at the people that are represented in this parable, they're the ones that follow along the path. They hear, but it says Satan springs up, takes them away, and they don't really care. They hear, and they're gone. It's not really something that affects them. Those that follow along the rocky path, they hear the word and they receive joy. But since there's no root, it only lasts for a short time. When there's trouble, persecution, they quickly follow. It's a nice idea. I'll involve myself, but as soon as something happens that completely refutes what I think, well then I'm out. The people that follow along the thorns, they hear the word, but their worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires, all the things make their life unfruitful. But then there's those on the good soil, the ones who accept it and produce a crop, 30, 60, 100 of what is sown. Those are those in verse 9 who hear and they want to know more. So if you read on into verse 10, it says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked, what does the parable mean? To ask him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever hearing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So Jesus is teaching in a way that people need to seek out and follow. He wants you to come and figure out what's going on. He doesn't want it to be a casual observance. It's a way for us to be his followers. The people who actually want to figure out what Jesus means when they hear him say the teachings and read, and for our, in our sake, read what he has taught. So in this method of teaching, in this way that Jesus taught, he then requires action. That's what we're talking about being a disciple. It requires action on our part to investigate, to understand, to go find what it is that Jesus means. And many, though, then turned a blind eye to what they heard. I mean, you can read multiple descriptions in Jesus' teaching people, and they're like, but I need to go take care of this. And he says, well, let that take care of itself. You need to come follow me. They were always trying to give an excuse to say, I want to go. But he said, well, that'll take care of itself. You come follow me. So this is why then we need to continue to pursue Jesus together. We should read our scriptures together. We should worship together. We should fellowship together. We should be serving together. Jesse, can you help me out? Daniel just walked out right when I needed him. Yeah. Oh wait, there's Kim. I didn't see you up there, Kim. Sorry, your head was below the screen there. Thank you, Kim. You can put up that one little PowerPoint slide. Do you know what I'm talking about? The next one. The next one. There it is. All right. A couple of years ago, we began to talk about what it means for us to be disciples together, to follow after Jesus. Not just simply believers, not people who just believe, but people who follow together, disciples. And that's where you see us talk about worship and fellowship and serving. And you can push the down arrow or whatever the next thing. And what we said was that the kingdom of God is found in the midst of all those things coming together. So we've been developing, you know, ways for us to be able to do that together. Because that is what God has called us to do. To go find the deeper meaning of what we understand about Jesus. Not to be casual observers, not to be people who just hear the things and go, oh, that's a nice idea, and then move on. But people who want to find the deeper meaning. The ones as in Mark chapter 4, who had went on with Jesus and said, what did you mean by this parable? What did all of that mean? We want to be those people. So we've been developing these things. A way for us to worship together and fellowship together and serve. And worship includes Bible study and reading scriptures together and worship and singing and all those things. And they don't have to happen just here. Wherever we have Bible, the Bible is being studied or people are talking and sharing their lives together. That's where that is happening. And that we fellowship together. This last year, that was one of the things that we tried to increase for. We added several things where we gathered. We had our Thanksgiving meal together, which we haven't done in a while. I mean, and the evening time, not something that just happens right after church, but something where we can invite more people to come and be a part. We joined together with the other churches that use our building as a place to meet. And we had a big service last summer. And it was very successful. And we plan on doing that again in the spring, hopefully soon. And then we launched a discipleship leadership group last year. We identified a few leaders from that group. And hopefully we'll be launching more groups where people can be connected and can do worship and Bible study together. And it begins to incorporate those things. And so that's what we want to continue doing in 2014. God is continuing to call us in that direction. So I believe our ushers handed out one of these things to you as you came in. Hopefully. Now, this is like just an organizational chart. We didn't get this out of the Bible specifically. But we just wanted to begin to organize ourselves around a way that we can make this happen more and more and more in our midst. So, what you see there is just kind of a drawing of how we are hoping that we can be organized. We are not completely organized this way yet. There are a few things that need to be changed, but for the most part, red means there's really not somebody over that area directly. And blue means we found a leader to take over in that particular area. Now, it doesn't mean that some of these things, if it's red, it's not happening. That's not true. It just means that it falls to a couple of people that ended up doing all the things, and we're trying to maximize the number of people. I'll give you a great example. Dan is one of those people. The trustees line there is still red, but we are working through that process. We're shading it blue. Right now, blue and red make purple, right? So it's purple right now. Because Dan, purple is your color. When I think of purple, I think of Dan. So we're working through that process. And that's something that we developed last year. So we want to continue bringing focus to this framework, to bring structure around worship, fellowship, and serving. And so those things are kind of, are there. So there's discipleship, there's children's ministry, there's worship, there's fellowship coordinator, there's service, there's trustees which handle the building, there's our finances, and then there's care, that where we care for people in our congregation and outside of our congregation. So I show this to you so that you can understand where we're going. So you can understand how we are trying to continue putting this into place. We're hopefully doing it through this process right here. So just because it's blue doesn't mean we don't need help in that area. It just means that we've identified a leader. We can always use more help. And where there's places that are red, we're working on leadership in that area. So some of the goals for us with regard to this year then is to find somebody over the fellowship team, find somebody over the service team. Because if we want to have these things in place, we need to put leadership in place. I mean, if we care about them, if we find them important, then we should staff toward them. They're going to be volunteer staff, but they still need to be staffed. We want to define the roles of these leadership positions. We want to bring resources and finances and all those things into play. And then we want to get as many people as possible involved in that. Now, you may be only one small piece of that on this map here, but we all know that it's feeding that. That's the goal. With regard to our resources, I do want to praise God this morning because we ended last year $4,500 over in the black. We have not finished that. That's a good thing. We should celebrate that. We've not finished that. We finished in the black several years now. We've finished like, you know, $75 in the red, you know, 25 cents in the black. I mean, it's always been right there on the zero, but we finished in the black $4,500 this year. So we want to continue moving in that direction, resourcing what God is doing in our midst. And that's in all of these areas, as you see on here. That's us being in the community, connected with those that live next to us, fellowshipping with each other, caring for each other, becoming disciples together, discipling our children together. I've heard sermons on Mark chapter 4 before in the past. Often, they generally go, which soil are you? Are you the path? Are you the rocky soil? Are you the thorns? Are you the good soil? But really, the truth is I can find every piece of that soil in my life. There are places where I just see what God is doing and I go, I don't want no part of that. And there are plenty of places where I see what God is doing and I want to be involved. And I get involved. So over the next year, my prayer for us is that we continue to work toward being disciples together. And disciples make other disciples. If you call yourself a disciple, then you should be in the process of making another disciple. Just like I should, just like anybody should. We should be together in this process. And in the middle of all, the midst of all of those things going on, the kingdom of God is found. So over the next few weeks, I want you to be praying about this piece of paper here, that picture up there. Where can you be involved? What can you do? How can you be helping other people become more like Jesus while you yourself are becoming more like Jesus? I mean, that's the process of discipleship. I'm excited about moving forward in 2014. I think there are quite a few things we're going to be surprised by the end of next year. I think we'll be surprised if we are faithful to what God is doing by the number of people that are connected in studying Scripture together. I think we'll be surprised by the number of people who care for other people outside of these doors. We need to begin talking about those things, figuring out ways to celebrate those things together. So I want to invite the band back up, and we close our service. But I wanted to pray for you, but I also want to invite you to participate in this process with us this year. If you haven't already, please get the Bible scripture reading plan on the back table and begin to read it together. Yeah. Nobody's going to hit every week, every day perfectly. That's fine. But just begin to engage and process. Find someone to connect with, to share your life with. Like we said last week, grow old with. So that way, you're not alone and you're not walking by yourself. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity. We praise you in advance for what you will be doing in our midst this coming 12 months. God, I pray for those places on our little map there that are in red. Father, I pray that you begin to press on our hearts where we can be involved in what you're doing here at Northgate. But God, above all, I pray that we want to become disciples that follow after you, who want to go find the deeper meaning of what it is that we are reading and understanding from your Spirit. God, in those places in our lives that are just the paths and the rocky soil and the thorny soil, all those places in our lives that we all have. God, I pray that you would cultivate them. That you would speak to those places in our heart. That we would share those places with other people. That they can be then turned into places that can serve you. So God, as we go from here, let us be people with ears that want to hear. And be disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.